All right, if you would be turning your Bibles
to Numbers chapter 16. Now this is going to be one of these sermons. It's going to be a two-part sermon series. We're going to finish it up tonight. But it's one of these sermons that everybody looks at each other and they say, well, somebody hacked off Brother Jeff this week. Amen? And then I have somebody else come up to me and say, all right, Brother Jeff, who is it that's bothering you in the church? Who is it? Somebody's causing you a problem. No. I'm preaching on a serious subject this morning, but I want to tell you, as far as I know, I don't have any problems like this in the church. But the Lord impressed upon me to preach this, Brother David. Maybe there is somebody in this church that's about to cause a problem and you need to be scolded good. Amen? I don't know. But I do see in other churches, Brother Cockwood, that there's some cords. Now, many of you might know who Korah is, but we're going to find out this morning tonight who Korah is in Scripture. And there are Korahs running rampant in the church. I talked to pastors that have had to resign their church because of Korahs in the church, causing problems. I've talked to members that say, Brother Jeff, our church is in turmoil, and it just angers me. I mean, it does. It gets me to the boiling point when I think about these wicked people in the church that are coming against the church and coming against the pastor, coming against the leadership, coming against what God wants to do in the church and just causing havoc and chaos in the church. Amen. I hate it. You want to see your pastor get mad quick? Then you start showing a bunch of discord, a bunch of cords in the church. But we're going to talk about Korah this morning. If you would please stand in honor of God's Word, we're going to just read verses 1 through 3, although we're going to be covering the whole chapter this morning and tonight. We're only going to preach about 25 minutes tonight and this morning, okay? So just pay attention, okay? We'll go through this quick, but I want you to pay close attention to the Word of God. Number 16, 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day, God. I thank you for everyone in attendance, Lord. I pray that we have no cores in this church, God. I know we try to guard against wolves, against tares, against people coming in and that join the church and look like Christians and they name the name of God and carry a Bible under their arm, but they're not. They're here to cause problems. And Lord, if there's anyone here like that today, I pray you smite their heart today, Lord. I pray that conviction comes upon them. Lord, I pray against these other people in these other churches. I pray for the pastors of these other churches. They're having to deal with cores, Lord, that need to be dealt with, that need to be tossed out of the church until they get right, God. I just pray, God, you deal with these pastors. Just help them, Lord. Comfort them during their times. Help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit this morning. Bind the hands of demonic forces. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this sermon and on your servant. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now listen, Moses was the chosen leader by God. Let me say that again. He was the chosen leader by God. Even himself, Brother David, said, I'm not the best leader. He said, I'm not the greatest leader. He gave all these excuses to God. But here's the key point, is that he was chosen by God. And you may not be happy with the pastor you got. You may not be happy with the leadership you got. But listen, if they're chosen by God, you better leave them alone. Amen. You better let them be. See, Aaron was chosen by God to be the priest and to be the helpmeet to Moses. But here's Korah. And Korah, no doubt, was very critical of Moses. No doubt he had gathered a following, so no doubt he was running that gator saying, well, Moses did this, and he shouldn't do that, and why did he make this decision? And why did Moses make that decision? Why did he do this, and why did he do that? And pretty soon, Korah had a following, and they were all saying, you're right, Korah. Korah, you can do a better job than Moses can. Now, Korah means baldness, or ice, or frost. And I find this interesting for two reasons. Baldness. If you've got cores in your church, it will cause your pastor to go bald very quickly, I promise you. He will be pulling his hair out, Brother Lenny. He will, because it causes problem after problem after problem. But I noticed that ice and frost. Cores are responsible for a lot of dying, dead, dry, cold, right. Icy churches.
Yes.
You go into a church and it's cold as ice and nobody's friendly and everybody's got a hardened, bitter attitude, I guarantee you there has been a Korah in their midst at one time or another. Amen?
Yeah.
Now listen, I want to tell you something. Everybody thinks that a Korah has to be a lost person. A Korah does not have to be a lost person. A Korah can be a saved individual in the church. We find in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, the enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Galatians 6:8 says, for he that soweth through his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth through the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Listen, you can be a Christian in the church, and you can be sowing to your flesh instead of sowing to your spirit, and you can become a Korah in the church. Amen. So you can be a lost person as well. John 8:44, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, if you're saved, you're going to follow the leadership of your spiritual father, which is God. If you're lost, you're going to follow the spiritual leader, who is the devil. You're either following one or the other. Now listen, let's go through a few points this morning, and we'll cover a few more tonight. But first, I want you to see that a Korah, sometimes family and friends, take precedence over the Word of God. Look at number 16:1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the priestly class, here it gives his background. So Korah has a godly background in the assembly. Korah has some people that have served God. Korah has some people, and he's got some recognition, and therefore he's got a family position with the house of Israel. And that happens in many churches, Brother Gary. Your family started the church, you've been in church a long time, and all of a sudden you are the person you think that everything rises and falls with you. In other words, you own the church because of your family and because of friends in the church, amen? And that's wrong. That's not the way God intended it to be, amen? In Korah's mind, he had a right to lead the people because of whose family was. Well, Moses doesn't have a history in this church. How many times do we hear that? This pastor that we brought in, he doesn't have a history in this church.
Right.
We did this church. We've done all this. We built this. We did this. He has no say-so in this church. See where I'm coming from, folks? Listen, God knows the man he wants over the church at a given time. Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. Listen, God placed me at Valley View Baptist Church. God has placed other pastors at the church that God wants them at. Pastors have different preaching abilities. They have different personalities. They have different things that God knows about. He knows the people. Brother Lenny, he knew before I came here, he knew whether me and you were compatible. Right? And that's why he put me here. He said, hey, he's compatible with Brother Lenny and Sister Reba. He's compatible with Brother Wayne and Sister Donna. Hey, they can get along with this pastor. This is the pastor that I'm choosing for this church. He knew the sheep of this church. He knows you. And he says, this pastor, these are the sheep that this pastor can deal with. Now listen, this pastor may not do well at another church. Why? Because that's not the church God has planted me in. Amen. God has chosen this church for this time. Now listen, a lot of churches miss their call on the man of God, and here's why. One, they're impatient. We got to have a pastor. Our pastor resigned. We got to get one right now, Brother David. Hey, well, grab somebody, bring him in. Hey, this is a good guy. He's a good fit. Bam, vote him in, and then you're in for trouble.
Yes.
You have a problem.
That's right.
Listen, I know many churches right now, their pastor resigned. 4 weeks later, they got a new pastor.
Yeah.
Folks, something's wrong with that.
Yeah.
You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to seek God's will
right
for where He wants you and who He wants. Well, another reason is they don't pray and fast, just like I said. Listen, folks, I talked to so many people and said, hey, we got a pastor. Well, did you pray about it? Well, no. Did you fast about it? Well, no. I said, well, how do you know that's the one God wants for your church? You don't know. Amen. Another reason is they're carnal. They won't accept the man of God because he gets in and he preaches the word, and that's the man God wants for the church, but they're not going to accept it because he preaches on something they're doing.
Right.
He comes in and preaches that God didn't turn the wine into alcohol, and all of a sudden you got a big problem, right?
Right.
You got people wanting to, hey, don't bring him back, right? Don't bring that preacher back when that might be the man that God wanted. But also, you've got people in position in the church who like their power. They don't want a man in there. They don't want God's man in there because what happens, Brother David? They get used to, hey, I like this pulpit committee thing. Hey, I like being everybody coming to me asking me all the questions and answers. Hey, I think I'll just hold on to what I'm doing. I like this, right?
Yes.
When God can't work. Power and position. It has no place in the church. Amen. Acts 5:29 says we ought to obey God rather than men. In 1 Samuel 15:24, here's Saul talking to Samuel, and he said he sinned. And why did he sin? Because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. So many people are scared of family and scared of friends and what they're going to think, that they completely miss out on what God has for the local church, amen. They completely miss out on it. Now let me say this, listen, the church building and the property is not the church. And people miss out on that. Romans 12:5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. I know of a man right now that pops into my mind, and every time he says, I love my church, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about, I love my church property. I love my church building. He could care less about the people. He has visited that church and went to that church even when it wasn't even a Baptist church. It was a different denomination. Why? Because mom and dad started that church. And he loves that church. But he could care less about what the true church is.
Amen.
He doesn't care if the Antichrist was preaching there, as long as he's got the building. Folks, that's not what the church is about, folks. Amen. Now listen, the second thing I want you to notice in this story is found in Numbers 16:2. Politics and business filter into the church. That's what Korahs do. They bring in politics and business into the church. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Notice that they're 50 princes. They were famous in the congregation. They were men of renown. They had political pull with the people. So Korah knew who he was going to bring in. He said, hey, I've got to get so-and-so on my side because they got some pull around here. I got to get so-and-so on my side. Hey, I'm going to go over here. Hey, Brother Ark's a treasure. If I get him on my side, hey, we can get this done, right? Hey, I can go over here. If I can get Brother David on my side, he's choir director. I can get this done. Hey, Brother Lenny's been here longer than anybody. If we can just turn him against Brother Jeff, we can get this done, right? See how that thing works? Politics in the pew. Politics in the pew. I mean, listen, people. People are always looking on the outside. Always looking outside, not on what God wants. Amen. You think about Samuel, and this is hilarious, over in 1 Samuel 16. And he said, peacefully, I'm come to sacrifice the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons. You know the story. Here he is, and Samuel says, I'm here with Jesse and his sons. God said that the king of Israel is going to come out of this lot right here. And he walks up, and guess what he does? Immediately, he looks at this guy right here, and look at what happens. And Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. He said he hadn't chosen any of these. But that was before this took place. Listen, it came to pass, or after me. When they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Here comes Eliab. Strong. King, got the look of a king. And Samuel says, that's him. That's him. That's the one. That's the one God wants. And God tapped him on the shoulder and said, that's not him. Mm-hmm. Well, look at him. I mean, look at his resume. I mean, look at what he's done. Look at his business. Look at his background. This has got to be the man for our church. Right? It's not him. It was the little shepherd boy out there, right? David, that became king, and the greatest king that Israel ever had, David. Because it was the one what? That God chose. See, folks, we need to get out of the way. We need to get out of the way and let the Lord work in our churches and in our pulpits. Amen? We've got to do that. I know some people that are looking for pastors right now, and I think they're making the biggest mistake of their life. And I've told them this. I've told them that they put all these qualifications on what they're looking for a pastor. And I understand you want Berlin. I understand that you want a good pastor. There's certain things you want. You know, there's things in the Bible that says not to be a novice and things like that. But they put stipulations. They said, well, he's got to be at his current church for 5 years. I told them, I said, what if God wanted to call somebody that's only been there 4.5 years? What if God's man has not had a church before that you wanted? What if God's man, and you say, no, he hadn't had a church before, we can't have him, he's out. Yes. See, when you put all these stipulations on who you think your pastor should be and what he should be doing, you limit God and what he wants to do, amen? There's a problem. Now listen, preachers need to preach the truth and not accept gifts. Isaiah 1:23, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts. I remember dealing with a problem in a church one time, Brother Wayne. I was dealing with it, Brother Dunn. And I remember the guys looked me dead in the eye. And they said, well, we did this for you, preacher. Can't you overlook this? See how that thing works? You do something nice for the preacher and all of a sudden you think, I've got him in my pocket. Listen, I love y'all. I love everybody that does something for me. Hey, keep doing something for me. Amen. Praise God for Amy's mother. She sent me pickles. Amen. Thank God. And pickles go a long way with the preacher. They do. But listen, it doesn't matter what you do for me. is not going to change my stance on that book.
Amen.
If you do something wrong, don't come to me and say, "But remember my pickles, preacher?" Right? Or remember this or remember that? Remember when I did this for you? Listen, that is a preacher that's for hire and it's not right. Amen.
Right.
It's not right. It's not right. Get some good amens this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 17:23 says, "A wicked man taketh the gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment." Listen, when politics enter the church, the Lord's ways are abandoned. Politics have no place in the church. I remember Brother Mr. Jack talking about trying to use people. Mr. Jack told me the story about a preacher. And he said he came to him and he was trying to get a church, get his church back, actually get to his church. And he came to Mr. Jack and said, "Boy, I sure would like to come to this church. I would like to come back to this church." Well, what was he doing? He was trying to get Mr. Jack to pull politics and go inside the church and say, "Hey, so-and-so said he wants this church," and start pulling straight. Mr. Jack said, "I don't politic in the church." He told me, he said, He said, "I ain't teaching that and touching that with a 10-foot pole. I've been in the hospital for that mess. I ain't going back." Amen. Right? Now listen, the third point I want you to get is what chorus do. They say, "You just preach and we'll do everything else." And that's going rampant in the church today, folks. Look at Numbers 16:3. "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, 'Ye take too much upon you.'" Aren't they just being great? "Preacher, we want to help you out. You just study and you just get up and say a little sermon. We'll take care of everything else. Don't leave. Don't do anything. Don't say we need to do this. Don't do anything. We just want you to preach. You just stay in your little place, up there in your little pulpit, and we'll take care of everything else." That's what Corey's saying here. But listen, even in the deacons' day, we find when they set up the deacons, it says, "Then the 12 were called, the multitude of disciples. It says, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Well, what's the business? It says, "The widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Listen, folks, when people see business in the Bible, they automatically say the preacher shouldn't have any say-so when anything goes on in the church. Just let him preach. A lot of deacons run the church that way, and it causes major problems in the church. Because listen, God did not call the deacon to lead the church. He called the pastor to lead the church. Now listen, deacons are to take things off the pastor. That's what a deacon's for. They do legwork for the pastor. They help the pastor so he can study and so he can think. But listen, the deacon does not come to the pastor and the trustees, whoever it may be, and say, "You do this." Now, I've got good deacons and good trustees of this church. They never come to me and say, "Preacher, you just preach." Amen? They don't do that. And so nobody thinks that, okay? But what I'm saying is that is going on in churches left and right today. It's going on all over the place. It says they're to do the legwork. Amen? Now listen, you say, "Well, what if the pastor's doing wrong?" Listen, if the pastor does something contrary to the Word of God, God will deal with him. Right. I promise you. Trust me. I know. Personal experience. If I'm out of line, God will tell me, because I want God leading me, Brother Lenny. I want Him leading me, Brother Faust. I want Him leading me, Brother Roddy. And listen, when I'm leading in the wrong direction or I think to go in the other direction, God smites me, Brother Gary. And He says, "No, don't do that." A pastor that is listening to the Lord, He will tell him when he's about to make a stupid move. Amen.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit will guide him. Amen. It says here in Jeremiah 23:2, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings." Basically, what he's saying is, you have not taken care of my flock. You don't love my flock. You don't serve my flock. You don't visit my flock when they're sick. You don't check on them when they're sick. You don't care about them. And therefore, I'm going to inflict some punishment on you. God help pastors that do that. Now listen, fourthly, they said, "We're just as good as you are. We'll decide what the Lord wants us to do." Look here in this verse. "Seeing all the congregation are holy." We're all holy. We're as good as you. Every one of them. "And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord." I mean, you see what they're saying? You're a king. You're a dictator. Who do you think you are? Listen, folks. The hierarchy in the church is not to say, "Brother Jeff is more spiritual than us. Therefore, Brother Jeff should leave because he's holier than us. He thinks he's better than us." So that's not what pastoring the church is about. Listen, I have the same frail flesh that you have. The same. I'm as human as you are, Brother Charlie.
Yes.
I've got the same flesh I contend with daily that I have to say no to and I have to crucify, Brother David. I am no better than you. I deal with it every day.
Yes.
But God has called me to a position.
Yes.
He's called me to pastor. It doesn't make me better than you. Hey, listen, there's some days I don't want my position. I don't like it. Amen? There's days as a pastor you don't want to be a pastor, but God has told me to do it, and that's what I'm doing. Amen? You got to do it. It's not about who's better than who else and who's better than this and who's better than that. Amen? I had a pastor say this. I'm closing, Brother David. You can get a song ready. Pastor made a very profound statement. Listen, God does not speak with a double tongue. God does not tell the pastor to take the church a certain direction and then come over here to Brother Roddy and say, Brother Roddy, I'm going to take you this direction. And then come over here to Brother Charlie and say, I'm taking this direction. And Brother Bruce says, and we got four people here and we're in the meeting. And Brother Bruce says, I think the church needs to go this direction. And Brother Charlie says, I think the church needs to go that direction. And Brother Roddy says, I think the church needs to go that direction. And the pastor's going, that's not the direction God's telling me. Listen, folks, God does not work like that. He's not the author of confusion. And this pastor made a very good statement. If a church is trying to be led by a three- or four-headed monster, it's headed for destruction. It's headed for destruction. A church has to be led by the pastor that God has chosen for the church, amen. Has to be led that way, amen. Has to, amen. Isaiah 14:12, and I'll end with this. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount, the congregation of the size of earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. I. Over and over again, that was Satan's downfall. I can run this universe better than God can. I can take over His throne. I know a better way. And he was cast down to the pits of hell. Listen, folks, there's many people in the church today that get the eye problem. If I was that pastor, I would do this. If I was that pastor, I'd do that. If I was this, if I was that, just like Korah said, if I was Moses, I would do this. And it will completely destroy a church. And if you don't believe me, you just go to some of these Baptist churches around here where chorus have been allowed to I, and you see how well they're doing. They went straight downhill and hit rock bottom, amen. Now, I know this wasn't a salvation message this morning, but listen, you might be here today, and you may have an eye problem. I had an eye problem. Everybody here that is born again, saved, you had an eye problem.
Right.
It was all about you. Wasn't anybody else's fault. It wasn't your fault. It was everybody else's fault, right? I'm going to do this. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I. And then one day, Jesus showed me that I wasn't going anywhere.
Amen.
Jesus showed me that all the things I was involved with were going to lead me straight to the pits of hell.
Amen.
He convicted me and he said, Jeff, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to that place called hell. But he said, I died for you. He said, I gave my life for you. He said, I don't want you to go to hell. I've done everything in my power to save you. But, Brother Jeff, you have to repent. You say, what is repentance, Brother Jeff? Repentance means you see your sin as God sees it. I was very discouraged this week. There was a movie that was released on repentance by Ray Comfort, and I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's awesome. But the Christians that went on there were just blasting him, saying, repentance is a heresy. Repentance is a false gospel. I mean, people that were saying they were born again, saying we don't have to repent. Repent puts works on it. No, it doesn't. Listen, God, you cannot hold on to your sin and hold on to God at the same time. That's not how God says to come see you. You don't clean yourself up, God will clean you up, but you have to see that what you're holding on to is wrong. You have to see that the things you're holding on to is wrong. You have to see that the things that you're holding on to in this world are destroying you, they're killing you, they're taking everything away. And you have to say, God, I'm willing to let that go, and I'm willing to turn to you. That's what repentance is. So that night, I was under conviction. I said, God, I'll let these things go, and I'll turn to you. I come down, and I called upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on, I said, God, save me. I'm a sinner. And guess what happened? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
So many people call on to God and call out to God, but they don't know God.
Amen.
And God does not hear them. He says he will not hear you if you're in your iniquity. God doesn't listen. So they create this own God in their mind. This is the God I serve. He's always there for me. He loves me. God does love you, but you have to be willing to say, I'm a sinner, and let go of your sin and say, God, save me. The woman that was in sin that they were going to cast stones at and kill, and God said, those without sin, cast the first stone. The last thing he said to that woman is, he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. People leave that out. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you need to be born again. Whatever your need is, come down. Maybe you need...